Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in Matthew 1. Let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. And what I want to do is preach a little message this morning on the birth of a Savior. The birth of a Savior. I'm not talking about the birth of a great preacher. I'm not talking about the birth of a great man. I'm talking about the birth of a Savior. Amen. That can save men from their sins and save them from hell and give them a home in heaven. Amen. Matthew 1, verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, that shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Lord, I sure love you. Lord, I do thank you, and I praise your holy name, that God was manifest in the flesh, conceived by the Holy Ghost in a virgin's womb. Lord, I thank you and I praise your holy name that you lived a sinless life, though tempted in all points like us, and yet without sin. And then, Lord, you who knew no sin, you became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of Christ through you. So, Lord, I thank you for going to Calvary. I thank you for giving up your life and shedding your precious blood. And Lord, I thank you for rising again the third day. Lord, if anybody here this morning is not truly born again, I pray the Holy Ghost would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Spirit of God, I pray you draw them to yourself, that they'd repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and have that peace of God in their hearts, that they are saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray bless your children today. Encourage them, Father, to live a faithful and a godly and a holy life for you. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And then turn with me, if you would, over to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to pick up in verse number 4. Luke number chapter 2, verse number 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I have two passages that I tried to show you and preach you a little message on the birth of a Savior. We're not talking about a great man, a famous man. We're talking about God manifest in the flesh. And that Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, they called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The birth of our Savior is obviously very important, because what it did is it marked the fact that God was fulfilling his scripture about a man, God becoming a man, so that he could save men from hell. I understand that the Lord didn't tell us to remember his birth, but we remember his birth because without his birth, there would be no death and burial and resurrection. So it's vitally important. As you read and study your Bible, you see that Old Testament is pointing the way to the coming of a Savior, Messiah. Genesis 49 prophesied that the Savior would be of the tribe of Judah, Luke chapter 3 bears witness to that. Micah chapter 5 prophesied that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, we just read that. Daniel chapter 9 told us about the time of his birth, the 70 weeks prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, it tells us that he would be born of a virgin. There's nobody that's ever been born of a virgin but Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremiah 31 tells us about the slaughter of the innocents, that Herod would try to kill that Savior. That's what they've always tried to do. And then Hosea chapter 11 prophesies about our Lord's flight into Egypt. And of course, we know about that in Matthew chapter 2. As important as it is, it's interesting. The birth of our Lord is only mentioned in two of the four Gospels. I read them to you in Matthew and Luke. And so this is what I have. I have a 6-point outline. I have 3 points, and then I have 3 more points. I think that adds up to 6, unless I change that. Oh, no, that's truth. 3 plus 3 is 6. They can't change that, can they? Praise the Lord. So I'm back in Matthew chapter 1, and I want you to notice something here. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. In other words, she was engaged. They were not married. They did not share a marriage bed. She was a virgin. Hey, by the way, he was a virgin too. That's still good preaching for men and women to keep themselves chaste and pure amidst a sensuous, vile community that we're living in. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Is a supernatural birth. John talks about God being manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh. Listen to me. Just as Adam was created from dust, and when Adam was created, he had no sinful nature. Our Lord lowered himself and was conceived as God manifest in the flesh in a virgin's womb. He did not have a sinful nature. Now, he was God, but he was man. We read in the Gospels he got tired. We read in the Gospels that he got hungry. We read in the Gospels about the frailties of mankind. We read about him being tempted and yet without sin. That's vitally important that it was a supernatural birth. You see, the Bible teaches without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible teaches the blood of bulls and of goats that cannot wash away sin. We sing a song and we love to rejoice. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Took a sacrifice. He's referred to as the Lamb of God, one of his many names in the Bible. Lamb of God came to take away our sins. Your sins, all of our sins. And so it's a supernatural birth. God manifested in the flesh. It had to be supernatural. For sins to be washed away in the presence of a holy and a righteous God, you had to have a perfect sacrifice. We magnify Jesus giving his life for us, but we should also thank God the Father that he would give his only begotten son. What they did to our Lord in the Father's presence, spitting in his face and mocking him and calling him a bastard and all that kind of stuff. And the Father could have just wiped out the human race. But because he loved, if God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So you got the Trinity involved in salvation. So we see, number one, that our Lord's birth was conceived by the Holy Ghost. So it was a supernatural birth. And then number two, I have, why was the Lord born? Well, he was born to die and to shed his blood for our sins and then rise again the third day so that we could be saved. Would you go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please? 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Boy, the Bible has a lot to say about a Savior, doesn't it? Not a prophet, though he was a prophet. Not a priest, though he was a priest. Not a miracle worker, though he was a miracle worker. He's a Savior. I want to testify. He's my Savior. March 20th, 1975, he found this lost, wicked 22-year-old sinner on his way to hell. And he arrested my heart, dealt with me, worked in my heart, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ain't never been the same. I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for these people pray prayers and their lives never change. Remember I was telling you about Andy and Betty? That's the first couple I married when I was in Newport. You know, they were shacked up together, and Andy was a roughneck from the city of Harrisburg. Spent a little bit of time in jail, and Betty, she was raised in a Christian home, but she got backslid on God. Got mad about something, got out of church, started hanging around with the likes of Andy. And when Andy was there, he told me, he said, this is what he said to me, Ralph. He said, you don't want me, you don't want my kind coming to your church. Well, I was pretty young. I was still in my 20s. And I said to him, I said, well, what's your kind? And he said, well, you know, and he started telling me about some of the things he did. I said, oh, no, sir, you're exactly wrong. I said, you're exactly the kind I'm looking for. I said, I'm fed up to here with this religious crowd. You know, they're better than everybody else. You know, they walk around with a puffed out chest and everything like that. Say amen. Nah, I'm looking for a bunch of sinners that are glad to be saved by the grace of God. Anyway, they came to church and Andy got saved and Betty got right. It wasn't a month. It wasn't 6 months. It wasn't a full week. It was a few days. They called me up. They said, would you come visit us? I said, sure. When? Now. I said, I can do that. I walked in there. Andy had got saved on Sunday, and Betty had gone to the altar and got right with the Lord. I forget if it was a Thursday or Friday. I forget. And I said, what can I do for you? They said, Andy goes, remember I told you about what kind I was? I said, yeah. He said, well, I got saved Sunday. He goes, we shouldn't be living like this. I said, okay. He said, would you marry us? Amen. And this is what I told him. I said, I have never married anybody. That's how young I was. They said, well, we want you to. I said, well, I think I can. He said, what is that? That's a change. Yes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Guys, if you're in church long enough, you get to see people get saved. But they ain't the same person. And I don't care if they were raised in church or they raised in the streets. There's a change. Pastor Matt, he did not do drugs and he didn't smoke cigarettes and he didn't drink liquor and he didn't fornicate with women. But when he got saved, there is a change in his life at 13 that the whole church knew about. We okay? Does anybody know you're saved? Does anybody say, hey, I used to know you? And what, there's something different about you. You know what that would be? That'd be a supernatural birth, wouldn't it? Not some cheap little religious thing. Supernatural birth. Anyway, I'm getting off the top topic. 1 Timothy 2 on that Savior. Look at verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Do you know what I know the Bible teaches, Daniel? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter in his sight. God wants them to be saved. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, I know this, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. Your sins are paid for. But until you repent and trust Christ, you'll die and go to hell. With the Lord loving you and the Lord wanting you to be saved. You have to come to Christ on Christ's terms. The Lord is not a gypsy. Well, Lord, I'll get saved if you do this and if you do. No, 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 no. You repent and you humbly come to him by faith. Verse number 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He said, why did he come? He came to die. Look at Titus chapter 2 and shed his precious blood for our sins. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 13 with me. Titus 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. See, it's the birth of a Savior I'm preaching on. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. As you all know, I was born and raised Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. Joey, I don't know, were you Catholic? I don't know if they did Latin when you were a kid, but when I was a kid, they still did the Mass in Latin. When I was in the fourth grade, we could become altar boys, but we had to memorize the Latin. So in the fourth grade, I memorized the Latin part of the Mass and what my responses were supposed to be, and I got to be an altar boy. I thought that was pretty. You know why? I thought that would help me get to heaven, AJ. All I wanted to do, hey, listen to me. Those Catholics, they taught us about heaven. They taught us about hell. Hell was, there's fire in hell and there was everlasting pain and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to go to hell. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't want to go. Well, I don't believe there's any hell. Well, when you wake up in hell, you will believe it. But it'll be eternally too late. And you'll be the fool. And so I did whatever I could. But you know, I'd go to the confessional, I confess, I would stick quarters in the cash box and light candles. I dip my fingers in that yucky water and zip zap and like that. I mean, I would do what I could, but I never had peace in my heart. No. So I always believed in God, always believed in the virgin birth. Always believed in heaven and hell. And they even taught me about purgatory. I never found purgatory in the Bible, but I believed in it. I believe Jesus lived a sinless life. I believe that he died and rose again. And I was lost. And I was going to hell. But I tell you what, I wasn't looking for the Lord, but he was looking for me. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, he's looking for you. He wants you to be saved. I mean, the Lord went to great lengths to get me those gospel seeds and drop them in my heart, start working in my life, cross my paths with people that would witness to me. I got saved by the grace of God. That night that Bob opened that Bible up and he showed me, he hung me out over hell. Timothy, I'll never forget, he hung me out. I had already believed in hell. I already didn't want to go to hell. But he hung me out over hell. And that Holy Ghost said, that's where you're going. Then he took me to Calvary. And he said, Mike, Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt. And my whole life as a Catholic teen, I was trying to pay my debt. That's why I had no peace. I was trying to earn my way there. And you can't earn your way to heaven. And I am telling you, the Lord illuminated my heart and mind with that word of God and that preacher telling me about the Lord. And he saw, he died for me. He paid my sin debt. And he offered me the free gift of eternal life. Bob says, you want to get saved? And I said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, you can get saved tonight, right now. You can pray right now. I said, I want to get saved. He said, well, go ahead and pray. Miss Daphne, I didn't know how to pray. Now, I could say Hail Marys, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord. I can still say Hail Mary. But I didn't think that would work that night. And he said, Mike, the best way you know how. And I said something in the area of, Lord, this man showed me from the Bible, I am going to hell. But he also showed me that Jesus died for me. Lord, I believe that you died for me. Would you please save me? Amen. Now, I didn't see any visions. I didn't keel over unconscious. But I got peace Amen. In my heart. Amen. That was a Thursday night. Friday morning, I had classes at Villanova. The alarm went off. I punched that flesh button to hit the snooze. And the first thought, Daniel, came to my mind. First thought, am I really saved and gone to heaven? And that Holy Ghost, Mary said, bore witness. And that peace. And I knew I was saved. You know why he came? He didn't come just to feed the multitudes. He didn't come just to walk on water. He came to die and shed his precious blood so he could save Mike Keenan, March 20th, 1975. And if you're not saved, he wants to save you today. He doesn't want to save you tomorrow or next week. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Nobody in the Bible ever got saved tomorrow. They got saved now. See, the Son of Man, he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom. You know, they say, you know, you die and you get to the gates of heaven and St. Peter will be there. Well, you know that's not accurate. But if it was that way, and if Peter said, Mike Keenan, why should you get into heaven? I'd say, because Pete, on March 20th, 1975, I asked Jesus, come in my heart and save me. And he washed away all my sins. And I'm his child. Amen. You know what he'd say? Come on in. Amen. But that's not going to happen. I'm going to close my eyes in death. And I'm going to wake up more alive than I've ever been. Amen. But if you die without Christ, you'll wake up in that place called hell. You'll never have a peaceful moment again. And all you'll think about all eternity is all the times you could have got saved. All the times people witnessed to you, prayed for you, invited you to church. You were at church and the Holy Ghost tugged on your heart. Said, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved. So, we first see that our Lord was conceived by the Holy Ghost and was a supernatural birth. The reason he was born was to die and shed his blood for our sins. Now turn with me to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50. When our Lord came to this earth, he had the will of the Father to do, a task to do. He had been born of the Holy Ghost, and he knew what the will of the Father was. And so in Isaiah 50, look with me in verse number 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. That's prophesying of our Lord's suffering before he went to Calvary. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So it was a supernatural birth. He was born so that he could die and shed his blood, save sinners, and then rise again. And then the third point I want to talk about this birth of a Savior is that our Lord had a task to do. And he set his face like a flint. And there's no backing up. There's no quitting. There's no veering off of course. Are you all following? As our Lord walked the face of the earth, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. You know, some people get all bent out of shape about something in church and quit going to church, quit serving the Lord. There's no quitting in our Lord. And so the disciples forsook him. His own disciples forsook him. The devil tempted him in the wilderness. His own family did not believe that he was the Son of God. The Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders of the day, they opposed him. They connived. They lied on him. They criticized him. They condemned him. In Gethsemane, one of the darkest moments of his life, his apostles fall asleep. Don't stand with him. But he had set his face like a flint. And there is no quit in him. Guys, I've been pastoring for over 46 years, been preaching for almost 47 years. I've seen a whole lot of people come and go. Or to put a revolving door on the church house. They come and they go. They come and they go. Well, I used to go to church. You know, I used to witness. You know, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to. Well, God, how I would not brag about being a used to be. set his face like a flint. You know, Nan, the first time I went to church, Nan was not saved. And it was around the Easter time. And they did Pastor Griffith. He was my first pastor. He could sing, but he had a great voice. And he got up and he sang. It was one of the first or the second church service I was ever in. And he sang that song. I know you all know it. He could have called 10,000 angels, but instead he died for you and me. But you know, the truth of the matter is they're beating our Lord. They're stripping him, humiliating him, spitting in his face. Yeah, he could have called. But you know what? He could have just spoke the word and knocked them back. But he didn't, because he had a task to do. And that was to die and shed his blood and then rise again the third day so sinners like us could be saved. That's what I want to do. I want to set my face like a flint. No backup. No quit. As you know, in January, Pastor Matt will become the pastor of Old Paths. And so people are saying, you're retiring. Well, I guess, technically speaking, I'm going to retire as the senior pastor of Old Paths. But I'm not retiring. I've already got 3 meetings for the new year, and I haven't even tried. So what are you getting at? I want to keep serving the Lord until the day I die. Are y'all with me? You won't see Mike and Nan Keenan laying out of church some Sunday night because we're tired. Say amen.
Amen.
No. He endured. And then he sat down on the right hand of the Father. Said it was finished. So it was a supernatural birth. He came so that he could shed his blood and save sinners. And he set his face like a flint. So what I would like to do for my second 3 points is I'd like to relate that to you and I. You know what you and I need? We need a supernatural birth. Titus says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Every single one of you, man or woman, boy or girl, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must. You must. Doesn't matter what background. Alyssa, just because your mom and daddy have been saved your whole life, have been serving the Lord your whole life, that doesn't make you saved. You have to get saved. Just like your mom and dad had to get saved, you had to get saved. Are y'all with me? The second point I would like to bring up is that the Lord had a task to do in his life. Well, you know what? You and I were saved so that we could bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a task. Would you go with me back to Luke chapter 1, please? Luke chapter number 1. I can remember those first times, Pastor Matt, going to Bible Baptist Church down there in Westchester, going there on a Sunday night, and buddy, it was vibrant. It was just crackling with the Holy Ghost and people in love with the Lord and serving the Lord. And I'd sit there and I didn't look like that bunch that went to church, Daniel. I had that long hair and those hippie clothes but I'm telling you, I just sort of felt like I fit in with that group. I really did. I called them weirdos. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But, you know, the women had long hair and dresses on. And the guys had, all the guys looked like they were in the military, for crying out loud. They had short haircuts and ties on and jackets and everything. Can you get a man? Hey, can I get an amen here? And I'd sit there and people get up and sing and they'd talk about the Christian school. They'd talk about this ministry and that ministry. And I'm thinking, man, I'd sure like to do something for the Lord. I sure wish I could do something for God. I want to. It was in my heart. They didn't browbeat me. You ought to do it. I was down in my soul. I wanted to serve the Lord. I'm in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 74. Luke chapter 1, verse 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. I have been saved out of darkness into his marvelous light. What I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to die to Mike Keenan, and I want to yield myself to the Holy Ghost, and I want to walk in the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost of God. And I want to be a blessing and a help to God's people and to the lost to hear the gospel message by the grace of God. Would you turn with me into Titus chapter 2? I want to show you something real quick, and I'll move on to my last point. Titus chapter 2. You know the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We ought to be a witness. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, you ought to put Christ first, not your job, not money, not your mother-in-law. Say amen right there. Put Christ first. Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Pick up your cross and follow me. The Bible says, if you lose your life, you'll find it. But if you find your life, you're going to lose it. That's what the Bible says. Titus 2. Look at verse number 10 with me. Would you look at verse 10? I'm taking a shortcut here. Not purloining. That's stealing. Not purloining. You ought not to be a thief. Amen. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that's faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Do you know what adorn means? It means to beautify. We're supposed to adorn the doctrine of God. Can I put it this way? We are supposed to make God look good. Are y'all with me? How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining. Guys, we should live a life that we make God look good. We shouldn't bring reproach on his name. You know what the book says? You're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. Not just not doing it. Don't even look like you're getting close to it. So I have been saved. I had a supernatural birth, and I have been saved to bring glory to the Lord. That's what I want to do. So you know what I want to do? My third point. I need to set my face like a flint so that I can finish my course. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Ought to be faithful in your tithes, but be faithful in your faith promise. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in your prayer life. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your children. Are y'all with me? There's a lot in there about being faithful, isn't there? Should keep you busy for the rest of your life. Amen. Over there in 2 Timothy, Paul was getting ready to go to heaven, and he said he had fought a good fight. He said he had finished his course. He said he had kept the faith. Sounds like a pretty good recommendation, doesn't it? That should be our heart's desires, guys. I'm going to close with this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So the birth of our Savior, it was a supernatural birth. The reason Christ was born was so he could die and shed his blood and rise again and save us. And then he set his face as a flint. And so I've tried to relate that to us today, that we need a supernatural birth. Listen to me, every one of you, you're going to die someday. I don't care how young you are, Lydia, you are going to die. You're going to face God in the judgment. You need to be saved. And then those of you that are saved, we've been saved so we can bring glory to Him. And then we should set us face like a flint. We should not be quitters. We should not be compromisers. We should be finishers. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to close with this illustration. In the last couple of weeks, there is a college football coach, and I don't know his name, and I just read the article. But what I read is that he was 61 years old. Joey, I'm 69. I'm going to be 70 next month. And his wife sang his praises. His kids sang his praises. Football players sang his praises. And all these testimony about this college football coach, there wasn't one thought, one word about him being a saved man, about him knowing Jesus as his Savior. But they were singing, you know, what a great coach he was, what a great offensive innovator he was, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? If he died without Christ, he woke up in hell. And all that stuff meant nothing. Absolutely positive. Nobody in hell is patting him on the back saying what a great coach he was. They're just screaming in pain and agony. Forever and ever. You're still breathing. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are saved, you should set your face like a flint that you are going to finish the course that God has set before you so you can hear those great words by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Y'all mind the Lord this morning.